the Great Commission that's given to us in the Gospel according to St. Matthew. Matthew chapter number 28, verses 18 through to 20. And I guess it's not on the screen, but it's coming. All right. Okay, here we are. Thank you. Let's read it together in unison. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." You may be seated. Today we're wrapping up our series called Jesus Up Close and Personal. It's not been a chronological study as much as it's been a character study of the life of Jesus. And I've enjoyed doing it and working on this series and putting things aside and trying to figure it all out every week. But it's a wonderful joy to be able to figure out who Jesus is and to understand something about his character and what he came to do and what it means specifically to be his follower in the day that we're living in. So the objective of our study has been the same as the Apostle Paul's, I guess you could say, and when Paul mentions in Philippians chapter 3 that we would know him and become like him. And that's really where the rubber hits the road, that we would know him and have a relationship with him, and that we would become like him in the way we live our lives and in the way we share his goodness with others. So this morning on this Pentecost Sunday, I thought it would be fitting for us to come to the very end of the Gospel of Matthew and reflect just a few moments on what we are about, why we exist, what our purpose is, and our marching orders from Jesus himself, our commander-in-chief, when he says that all authority has been given to us. That authority is from the very heart of God himself, is from the very character of God. That authority has been given to me, it's been given to you, it's been given to all of us, that we would go make disciples, and we would baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and that, as the verse says, and teach them, in other words, to disciple them, to become more like Jesus, And to share with them the aspect of obedience, lifestyle, commitment, and that all that God has commanded, that we would be living our lives for that purpose. And then the promise is that he would be with us. He will be with us wherever we go. He will be with us to the very end. And so Jesus came to show us what it means to live life. To live it more abundantly, to live it fully, and to live it wholly surrendered to God. And that he means that he came to be a servant, not a celebrity, not some political figure, not some movie star, or any kind of a personality like that. He did not come to set up a personality cult type following. Because the Bible says that the Son of Man came to be served, not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. And so that's what it's about. And today's sermon is significant because I want us to focus on the fact that we're not here today to pay homage to a dead man. We're not here to pay homage to someone who is still on the cross, but someone who is not on the cross, to someone who's not in the grave anymore. We're not here merely to remember our leader who lived a long time ago. We're not here to remember a great teacher or a prophet necessarily. We're here to celebrate the fact that this Jesus who lived long ago is alive today, and that he's alive through the Holy Spirit who works in us and who desires to work through us. 2,000 years ago, Jesus died a violent death, and we celebrated at Easter time. We talked about his death on the cross. We talked about that he was buried in a borrowed tomb, that his enemies thought that that was all there was to it, that the end had come, and there was nothing they could change. But on the third day, the Spirit of God entered that cave and breathed life into the nostrils and the lungs of Jesus, and that his lungs were filled with air, and his heart began to pound, and his blood began to flow through his veins again. And he stood to his feet and discarded the shroud of death, and he walked out of that tomb. And today that tomb is empty. That he was victorious over death, and that he lives today. He is alive. That's the message of Christianity. Not like Muhammad, not like Confucius, not like Buddha. All of these great religious leaders of the past, they're all dead, they're all gone. They'll nevermore walk on the face of this earth. But Jesus is walking right now among us. Jesus is here among us right now. We're not celebrating a ghostly type of resurrection. We're not celebrating a symbolic resurrection. It was not merely a resurrection of memory, as if to say that he is gone, but his memory lingers on. It's not like that at all. No, the resurrection of Jesus Christ was a physical, bodily resurrection. And today, you and I are here to prove that. No, his resurrection was not something that is to be philosophized about. His resurrection was not something to be even contemplated, but his resurrection is something that's practical. And I thank God every moment of every day that I'm one of his children. And then over the next 40 days after Jesus rose, he appeared to his followers on many occasions. And he gave them conclusive proof that he was, in fact, who he claimed to be, the Son of God. Jesus, the Messiah, the King of Kings, and the Lord of Lords. That he proved it to Thomas, to doubting Thomas, when he asked Thomas to touch him and to see that it, in fact it was him. For 40 days after the death and resurrection of Jesus, he appeared to his followers on several occasions where it's recorded for us in the New Testament. He continued to teach them kingdom principles. He taught them about what was to come. And then right before their eyes, he ascended up into heaven in what's known as the ascension. And among the last words he spoke to his disciples was to give them a mission. And that mission was to preach the gospel to all over the world, to every creation, to every creature, to make disciples, to baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to follow all that he has commanded. And then he said this. These are the words that live on today. These are the words that have made an impact on my life. And I know have made an impact on your life. He said this. And surely I am with you always, even to the very end of the age. So the question is, where is Jesus today? Physically, he's seated at the right hand of God the Father. And he's waiting to come back. And the Bible says at an unknown moment, in the twinkling of an eye, Jesus is going to return. And he's going to come imminently. He's going to come to receive his church, the body of Christ, unto himself. But he's also with us. Right here, right now. He's with us. Not just in memory. Not just metaphorically, not just in any kind of an impersonation venture, But in a very real and literal sense, He is with us now. And that means we can encounter His presence every day of our lives because He is with us always, it says. So today I want us to just mention three things about this encounter. Three ways you can encounter the presence of the risen, living Christ through the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. I want to suggest to you, first of all, that you can encounter His presence through the filling of the Holy Spirit. We are commanded by Paul the Apostle in the book of Ephesians. He said this, "Be filled with the Spirit." Be filled with the Spirit. Do not be drunk on wine, but be filled with the Spirit. And that's a command. Before Jesus ascended into heaven, He told His disciples to stay in Jerusalem and wait until they were clothed with power from on high. And we read all about that in the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 1, verse number 5, it says this, that in a few days, you will be baptized by the Holy Spirit, Jesus says to His disciples. And then in verse 8, He says this. He says, you will receive power. You will receive the dynamos in the Greek, it says. The dynamite, the power of God when the Holy Spirit comes on you. That's what you'll receive. And that's exactly what happened. That's exactly what happened. Jerusalem was filled with visitors from all over the world to celebrate the ancient Feast of Pentecost, a major Jewish holiday at that time. And the disciples gathered. They were gathered in that upper room. They were there praying. And then suddenly, the Bible tells us that there was a sound like a mighty wind that came upon them. And it filled the whole house, and there were flames of fire resting on each one of them. And they all began to speak in different languages. And as they moved out into the streets, people from all over the world, all over the then known world, were hearing these guys speaking in unknown languages, speaking in different tongues. And as they moved out into the streets, people from all over could hear them praising God and shouting His praises in various languages. And they were amazed. And they asked this question, how is it that these unlearned or unschooled Galileans could do that? It's about like asking, well, how could these hillbillies be doing this, speaking in languages, because they're not well educated. They don't know much. Remember my first church, we lived in an area of New Brunswick right over near the main border. And there was this little village just to the south of us where not too many people had much of an education. They lived in little tar paper shacks, a lot of them, and very poor families. And their community was called Zealand. It's if you drive through there today, you'll see, you'll come to Zealand. And Zealand, is a nicer community today. And we call them Zealanders. If you were from Zealand, and if you were a Zealander, you were kind of way down here on the totem pole a little bit. And people tended to make fun of the Zealanders and tease them because they weren't educated very much. They didn't have a whole lot. And it was kind of like the crowds of people here. They were making fun of the disciples. They were calling them hillbillies. They were modern-day unschooled Galileans, and they were modern-day Zealanders, if you would. They were modern-day hillbillies. They were speaking the languages of homelands from that they had never even heard before. Well, the Apostle Peter took the stage, and he stood before the crowd and preached the gospel. And as a result of that, we hear that 3,000 people came to faith in Christ on that one day in Jerusalem, on the day of Pentecost. And so today is the day that churches all over the world celebrate this event, the day of Pentecost. Today is Pentecost Sunday, May the 15th, 2016. Today is the day we celebrate the beginning of the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the church. And Jesus said that you will receive power when you receive the Holy Spirit. You'll receive the dynamite of God. And that's what happened at Pentecost, and it's still happening today. It's happening whenever a person comes to faith in Jesus. The Holy Spirit is poured out into that person's life. Now, there were two reasons to explain why the disciples' radical transformation from being powerless and cowards and abandoning Jesus, that's what they did after the resurrection, to being bold and courageous. There are a couple of reasons why they changed from being powerless and cowards to being courageous. And the first reason was that they witnessed face to face the risen Christ. They had seen that he, in fact, had risen from the dead, that he was alive, that he was, in fact, who he said he was. But the second reason was that they experienced the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. They experienced the power of God's Spirit living within them. And the Holy Spirit is where the power to live the Christian life comes from. I cannot live the Christian life on my own, and neither can you. You cannot do it apart from the Holy Spirit living within you. Jesus said this, that before he died on the cross and he told them that he would send the Holy Spirit to dwell within them, he said this, that I will ask the Father, and he will give another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. It's the Spirit of Truth that lives in your heart today by the Holy Spirit. And then he said this, I will not leave you as orphans. Now, some of those compassion children are orphans. Many of them are orphans, and we get a picture of what an orphan is like in this world. But he says, I'll not leave you like that. I'll not leave you as an orphan. He says, I will come to you so that you might encounter me and know my presence. I will come to you. Jesus is saying that to be filled with the Holy Spirit is to be filled with the very presence of God himself. I will be with you, he says. And we talk about asking Jesus to come into our hearts. Even a child understands what that means, for Jesus to come into that child's heart, or any one of us. There's a sense in which that's what happens exactly, that Jesus comes to indwell, to dwell in your spirit, to dwell in your heart, to dwell in your DNA, if you will, to dwell in your very being through the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. And so for this reason, we don't need to pray to God who is millions of light years away or on the other side of the universe. We don't need to pray to a God like that. We pray to a God who is right here with us now, this very moment. In this very room, he is here, and that's worth celebrating. And I love to remind myself of this throughout the day. When I'm driving up here, wherever I might be going, when I'm alone, I remind myself that he's here, he's with me, that he's there. When I'm in my study, I'm not alone, he's here. When I'm surrounded by people who may not even like me, I know he's here, he's there. He's with me wherever I'm going, wherever I am, that I am not alone. He's here. He's here through the presence of the Holy Spirit who dwells in my spirit. And this is why we need to ask God every day to fill us with his Spirit. That's why every single day we need to know and have that connection with God through the Spirit of God. We encounter the presence of Jesus through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Now I want to tell you a second thing, a second way we encounter the presence of the Holy Spirit. And it's this, that we encounter the presence of the Holy Spirit through the community of believers. That's us. That's the body of Christ. Jesus said, for where two or three come together in my name, what? There I am. There I am in the midst of them. Now, we don't have our pews filled this morning. Wish we did. But we don't. But yet, the Spirit of God is here. God's Holy Spirit is here. He's here. He's among us. He's with us. He's in us. He's alive because He lives within each of us. And whenever we come together, whether it be for worship, or whether it be to eat, or whether it to be to fellowship, or whatever it might be, we can be sure that He is here among us. Several years ago, I was getting ready to speak at a conference I was asked to speak at, and as we were planning out the details, it was just a short part in a conference I had, a couple of the people in leadership used an interesting phrase, and I liked it, and it kind of caught my attention, and they said, we'll do this or we'll do that, and let's see if God shows up. Let's see if God shows up. Well, you might have some problems theologically with that statement, if God shows up. Because when we come together in His name, God will show up. He will show up. Jesus will be here among us. It's guaranteed. It's guaranteed that every time we meet for worship, or whenever we meet for fellowship, whenever we're together as the body of Christ, God shows up. In this very room, He's here. Right now, He's here. God shows up. And sometimes we might try to hinder Him. Sometimes we may even quench His Spirit by attitudes of unforgiveness. Sometimes we may hinder His work among us in one way or another. But God always shows up. He's always among His people. And I love this phrase from the King James Version from Psalm 22, verse 3. It says this, But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. It's still true today that God is inhabiting the praises of His people. It makes God happy when we come together to praise Him. It pleases Him. It makes Him happy. We honor Him. We glorify Him. We worship Him. We lift Him up when we gather together to worship and praise Him. And because of that, He's in our midst. He's at the very center. Now, I know that Steve and Kathy, last Saturday, we went up to Bangor. There was 6,700 people gathered in one place, singing. To the top of our voices, praising God. What an amazing sound. All of these people together worshiping and singing praises to God. 6,700 people. It just blew my mind out. It's amazing. It's powerful. And God is pleased with the praises of His people when all His people gather together. You see, you don't... When you feel like you're far away from Jesus, many times we do. Many times we feel like we're just away from Jesus, a long ways from Jesus. We should attend a worship service, and we should be faithful in gathering for worship as much as we can, because that's where we get our batteries recharged, because He will be there. He's going to show up. When we encounter Jesus through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, we encounter Him through the fellowship of other believers. When other believers gather that have the same like mind, faith, and trust in Him, it's something powerful about it. Because He's there. He empowers us. We encounter His presence. And it's amazing. And that's why I cannot figure out in the life of me why people don't want to come to church on Sunday morning. It just blows my mind as to why people would not want to be in that type of an environment. And here's the third way we encounter Him through the Holy Spirit. Encounter the Holy Spirit through those who need our ministry. That, to me, is where the rubber hits the road. There's a lot of rubber hitting the road, sometimes more than others, but this is where it really hits the road. Because Jesus said, on the final day of judgment, there will be those to whom He says this. Now turn to Matthew 25, 34, and this is a passage of Scripture I want to read to you just in closing here this morning. Matthew chapter 25, verse 34, it begins by saying this, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked in after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink?" And verse 38 says, "When did we see you a stranger invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison or go to visit you?" And then verse 40, it says this, "The king will reply, 'Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of these, the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did it for me.'" You see, we've seen before how Jesus was moved to compassion and how he helped those who had hurt, how he had healed the blind, how he had raised the dead. And we've seen what he expects to pick, that he expects to pick up where he left off. He expects us to do that, to pick up where he left off, to be the hands and feet of Jesus, reaching out to those in need. But here's where the plot thickens. He said this, in effect, "When you minister to those in need, you're not just ministering to them. You're ministering to me," he says. "You're ministering to me." And we need to be reminded of that. It was Mother Teresa who once said about her mission in Calcutta, "Every day I seek Jesus in all his distressing disguises. Every day I seek Jesus in all his distressing disguises." There will be times, and it may even happen this week, when you will encounter a person in need, and you'll have at your disposal or the wherewithal, the ability, the resources, you have it to help meet that need. It may be a few dollars. It may be a word of encouragement. It may be something unique. It may be passing some time with them. It may be giving them a ride somewhere. You may not recognize it at first, and you may not even recognize that you are performing a ministry. But Jesus will be present in that situation because he says, "I will be with you." And the compassion you show to another, he will receive for himself. You are doing it to him. Do you want to see Jesus? Well, I do. We all do. Do you want a personal encounter with the risen Christ? Then I can tell you where you can find it. You can find it at the soup kitchen. You can find it at a busy intersection. You can find it helping an elderly woman mow her grass, mow her lawn. You can help it by delivering a care package to someone. You can help it by sending a note to a college student. You can help it. You can find it. You can be the hands and feet of Jesus in many, many different ways by offering a cup of cold water in his name, in whatever way that might be. It certainly is a powerful ministry. Or you can be a person that would say, "I just don't want to do it because I don't have the time." Well, the option is up to you, but let me tell you, the blessings are there when you serve. The blessings are there when you reach out in the name of Jesus. You can encounter him in the person who has failed so many times and so many times that it seems no one could ever love them. Or the person who has been tossed aside by the rest of society. You can encounter the presence of the Holy Spirit in a powerful way in that regard. You will encounter Jesus this week, no doubt about it. Disguised as one of the least of these, you can find him. You will know him. You'll know that he is there and he is in your midst and he is helping you along the way. So Jesus is alive today. He is here. He is among us. He is within us. He is the one that we serve. This is the one of the many things that makes him different from all the other religious leaders of the past. We're not here to honor a dead person, but to celebrate the one who is alive, who lives in our hearts through the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." When he said that, he meant it, and that's true. That's our faith. That's our solid bedrock. That's our foundation, even today. So in order for us to accomplish what we've set out to do, to know him, to become like him, and to encounter him, we must begin by making it a daily habit to acknowledge his presence at every single opportunity. When we wake up in the morning, we remind ourselves that he is here. When we go about our day, we acknowledge that he's here. When we close our eyes at night, we acknowledge that he's here. When we come together for worship on Sundays, he is here. When we see a person in need, he is here. He is among us. The Holy Spirit lives within us. And it's Christ Jesus who lives through us. "And surely I am with you always," Jesus said, "to the very end of the age." And wherever you go, whatever you do, you can be sure today, and you can take this one thing to the bank, that he is here. And the question you may ask and answer all through the day is, how then will I respond? How then will I live my life? How will I respond to his presence in this moment or in this opportunity? May God help us to give us the power each and every day, as he's promised, to do just that. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the presence and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father, for empowering us. Thank you for the life breath of your Spirit working in us and through us every single day, every single moment. And so, Lord, I pray for that filling in our lives right now. I pray for that empowerment right now. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you would help us and you would encourage us to not just acknowledge your Holy Spirit, but to be empowered, to be set free, to be liberated by it every single day. And I thank you and I praise you, Lord, for what you want to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We're going to sing "Great is Thy Faithfulness," number 54 in your hymnal, as we close.